Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Gimel, and we will begin from the Mishnah, the beginning of the new perek, on daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, the seventh perek in Masechtas Bava Basra, perek Beis Kor. So as we'll see, perek Beis Kor is really a culmination of the last several prokim in the Masechta, Meicher Sabayis, Meicher Sasfina, Meicher Peiros, and now somebody that sells a Beis Kor offer. The sugyas in the beginning of Perek Beis Kor are very similar to the sugyas that we've had for the last 40 or so dafin. This, however, as we mentioned, concludes that part of the Masechta. By next week, this time, we're going to be learning another classic Perek in Chas, Perek Yesh Neichlin. But for now, Zok Demishn, Ha'imit L'chaveiro, if somebody tells his friend, Beis Kor offer ani Meicher Loch, I want to sell a Beis Kor offer to you, a field, the size of a Beis Kor offer. The buyer agrees. Says the Mishnah, Hoyesham Nikam Abukam Asar Tfachim, if there were ditches inside the field that were 10 Tfachim deep, Oyslaim, or if there were rocks on the field, Gvayim Yutfachim, that were 10 Tfachim tall, Einan Mdadimim, the halach is that they don't count as part of the shear of a Beis Kor, being that that part of the field is not fertile, it's not included in the Beis Kor. Pachas Mikan, if it be less than 10 Tfachim deep or 10 Tfachim tall, respectively, Mdadimim, in that case, they would be measured. The Rashbam says that in order for it to be not included, the Mishnah says it has to be 10 tfachim in height or in depth. In addition to that, it would also have to be 4 tfachim wide. 4 tfachim wide, 10 tfachim tall, that's a significant shear when you learn Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, Masechta Sukkah. That's always the shear of a Rishus HaYachid. So although the Mishnah gave us one of its dimensions, but there's another dimension as well. So if it's 10 tfachim tall, or deep, and 4 tfachim wide, then the halacha is that if it's not fertile, einon nimdadin ima. Pachas mikan, the Gemara is going to go into detail what pachas mikan means, nimdadin ima. Vim amaloi kibbeis kofaran, let's say the person didn't say base kofar, but he added the kof, be'erech ha-beis kor, afilo hayosham nekam amukim, yoysem mea sarat fachim, ayislam givan, yoysem mea sarat fachim, then the halacha is that even if the ditches were more than 10 tfachim deep, or the rocks were more than 10 tfachim tall, arelin dadim ima, they are going to be included in the sale. So before we see the Gemara, a base kor offer, what's the sheer base kor? So a base kor is really a measurement of food. When you translate that into land, it would mean the size of property where you would be able to plant a base core, a core of sa'orim, of barley. That's the way Chazal ordinarily understood the core. So they would measure land based on what kind of produce it would be able to generate. So a land that's the size of a base core means that it's a parcel of land that's able to generate a core, that's able to generate a core of sa'orim. In terms of the more detail of the shear, a core was made up of 30 sa'. So a land where you can plant a core of sa'orim, you'd be able to plant 30 sa' of sa'orim. So one core equals 30 sa'. Each sa' equals 6 kavin, which means that in a base core, this 30 times 6 kavin, or there's going to be 180 kavin. Incidentally, it's a very, very large parcel of land. It's like 150,000 square feet. So it's a significant piece of property. So the Mishnah, if somebody sells this very large piece of property, several acres, the halacha is that if he said base kor, then if they're nekam and slum that are less than 10 tfachim or less than 4 tfachim wide, they're going to be included. If they're more than that, they're not going to be included. If he said kid base kor, then even if they're nekam and the slum are yoysen asar tfachim, they're going to be included. Zok de Gemara, Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah, where's Hasam? Masechtas Erechin, Hamakdish Sodeu B'Shasa Yovel. If somebody is Makdish's field at the time that Yovel's Noyig, Noysen Loy Lebeis Sera, Chaymes Sa'orim Chamishim Shekel Kesef. So this is one of the more obscure halachas in the Torah. The Torah is talking about somebody in the time that Yovel was Noyig, and that's key, because if this took place in a Zaman that Yovel was not Noyig, such as during Ba'yesheni, for example, where even though there was a Beis HaMikdash, so it was Yerushalayim B'Tefarta, but Yovel per se was not Noyig, the Aloch would be different. So we're talking about someone that's Makdash, a field, B'Shasha, Yovel Noyig, criteria number one. Criteria number two, the field that he was makdish was a stei achuzah. So this is something that his family had going back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So when Yeshua ben Nun was manchal Eretz Yisrael, right when the Yidden entered the land, so each shevet, each family, they got their chelik. If this piece of property is a stei achuzah, so the halacha is that if after he was makdish, he has soul's remorse, he now wants to be poyedet, he wants to redeem it from hekdish, he's allowed to. What or how much money does he have to give Hekdesh in order to get his property back? So the Torah gives a very specific formula. It's a pasuk, Vayikra Chav Zayin, pasuk Tazayin. The Misteach Uzasa Yakdesh Ish Lashem, Vahoye Erkecho Lefi Zaroi, Zerach Chimes Sa'orim Bachamishim Shekel Kesef. So we're talking about a land that Zerach Chimes Sa'orim, which literally, we'll see in the Gemara, means a base course. That's the identical shear to the shear that's being discussed over here in our Mishnah, a base core. 30 saw, 180 kabin. So that's the share we're talking about. The formula is chamishim shekel kesef. But it's important to realize that this shear of chamishim shekel kesef is only true if the person would try to redeem the field the second after year one. So it's bezman shay yovel noig. Yovel was literally yesterday. The next morning, you were makdish a field and now you wanted to redeem it. The reason that's important is because you have to take the chamishim shekel kesef then and prorate it to the 49 years between now and the next yovel. So you take chamishim shekel kesef, you divide it by 49, you have your now prorata annual number. So if there were 49 years, it's the shit that's mentioned in the Torah. If it's 40 years, if it's 36 years, if it's 22 years, 7 months, 3 weeks, 2 days and an hour, you'd have to sit down, do the back of the envelope arithmetic to figure out exactly what it is. But the tzushtel, at first glance, from this halacha, which is a pasuk in the Torah, Mishnah Masechtas Erevkin, to our sugi over here, Masechtas Bava Basra, is that here too we're talking about a base core, because the shear mentioned in the Torah of Zerach Chaymes Sa'orim is a base core. Zok the Mishnah again. Tanan Hossam, a makdish, Zdei B'Shal Shal Yevul. Someone's makdish field at the time, the Yevul was noig. Nisim lo the base Zerach Chaymes Sa'orim, Chamishim Shekel Kesef, if he wants to redeem the field. Year one, right in the beginning, after he was makdish. So there's 49 years up until the next yovel. So the formula is, as mentioned in the Torah, what if this field, the Zerach HaMesoirim, had in it ditches that were 10 tefachim deep, or there were rocks that were 10 tefachim tall, they're not included in the shear. If they were less, nimdodin ima. So essentially the same halacha in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is talking about somebody that was makdish, a field that is a base core. How do you assess the base core? If there are sloyim or if there are nekoyim, are they included or not included? It depends. If they're 10 tefachim tall or 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, they're not included. Otherwise, they're going to be included. The Frekta Gemara, Va'amai, in this Mishnah over here, where we're talking about Hekdesh, I don't understand why there should be a halacha that Nekoyim, Amukim, Asar, Tefachim, or Slam, Gvoyim, Yud, Tefachim, should be excluded. Likdeshu, Ba'ampi, Nafshayu. And the Gemara's kasha is that even if you're going to tell me they're not part of the field, so in Hilchas Mekach HaMemka, for example, if Reuven and Shimon agreed on the transaction, they agreed on the sale of a field. You have something in the field that's maybe not part of the field, so it could be that's going to be excluded from the sale. That could make sense. But over here, you are clearly makdish everything here. If you are makdish everything here, the Gemara's kash is that even if these nikoyim and these sloyim are not part of the field per se, but they should still be hekdish. Because at the end of the day, you will makdish everything. So look at it as an entity for itself. It's a separate LLC. Who cares? Lamaisa, I still was makdish it. And if I was makdish it, the halacha should be, it should be subject to the laws of someone's makdish, a stei achuzah, bezman shayevum noyeg, and then he wants to redeem it. He has to redeem it based on this formula of chamishim shekel kesef. Says the Gemara, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me the Torah says clearly that the halacha of the misteach achuzasa yakdish shlashem is only true if it was zerach HaMesoirim. It was a base core. That part is less than a base core. So if it's less than a base core, it knocks out this whole halacha. Doesn't it sound like the criteria for this halacha is that it has to be a base core? So that's the teretz. The reason the Mishnah is saying that we need to know if they're going to come a part of the field, because we have to know if we have a base core. If we have a base core, oh, so now you have that halacha in the Torah. If you don't have a base core, because they're not considered part of the field, then you don't have that halacha in the Torah. So v'chi teima, if that the Torah is, kibbutz li have a base core like kachi. V'atayn, but we learned in a bray. Braisa, Sada Matamud Loimer. Why does it say the word Sada in that parsha of someone who was Makdish, a stay Achuza, Bezmacha Yevonoik, Fish, and Amazer, Chemishu Shakal Gesev, and the Elishik Dish Binyan say, I would have thought that the only time these halachas are true is if you're Makdish exactly a base court. Mina, you know the rabbi's head, you know. If someone's Makdish, Lesech, Vichatzi Lecha, Sod, Tirka, Vichatzi Tirka. Remember, two Shabbosim ago, the Gemara had a whole list of different measurements breaking down the Kav into its finer, granular shiurim. But the point is, Talmud loy masodem yikol makoy. So you see that it's Ladafka, the base core. Base core is just an example, but at the end of the day, even if it's less than a base core, you're still going to have this halacha. So again, the Gemara's kasha is, who cares if the slum are included in the stei achuza, if the nekoyim are included in the stei achuza? I understand why it matters in Perik Beis Kur Masechtes Bava Basra and Hilchas Mekach HaMemkor. You have to know what's included in the sale and what's excluded in the sale. But over here, the Gemara's kasha is that we assume that this person meant to be Makdish everything. So even if the Nekoim are not part of the field, but he's still meant to be Makdish. And at the end of the day, it should still be subject to the halachas of in Misteach Huzasa Yakdish Shlashem, Voye Erkech Alavizari Zerech Chaymersoyim Bechamishim Shekel Kesef. And even if you want to look at the field separate and the Nekoim and the slum separate, they should both be subject to it. And even if they're less than a base core, respectively, it still doesn't matter. We're talking over here not just about ordinary Nekoim. We're talking about ditches that were filled with water. Oh, the Laban is Ria. No. You can't sow it. Being that you can't sow it, it's not considered Steachuza. That's why it's not subject to the laws. If it was a Bas Zeria, the halacha would be that it would be hektish when you were makdish it l'katchila, and now if you want to be poided, it would be subject to the same exact laws. We're punk talking about something that's not stei achuza. It's in a field, it's moly mayim. But since that it's moly mayim, it's not a bar zriya, it's not a bar zriya, it's not ekonami, and I'll prove it to you. Diktani dumi the slime, shmami no. Because the Mishnah over there, like our Mishnah, mentioned nikoim and slime. Slime, you can't be zereya. It's clearly not stei achuza. Meaning it sounds like the whole kasha of the Gemara was not even from Slum. It was all from Nekoyim. Nekom do me the Slum. Just like Slum and Abnei Zriya, so to Nekom and Abnei Zriya. If it's less than 10 Tvachim, the halacha should also be that it's not Slum. We're talking about ditches that are Mole Mayim or Slum that are not Bnei Zriya. So why does the Mishnah say that only if they're 10 Tvachim and 4 Tvachim wide, like the Rashbam said, why only there is a Salach and a Geya? L'chura, even if it's less than that, it should be excluded. Says the Gemara, Hani Negani Dari Mikri, Shadi Dari Mikri. In short, those are considered to be part of the land. They're like handles to the land. They're like the spine of the land. The point is, it's bottle. Being that it's bottle, even though that particular square foot inside this property is something that you can't be zereya, that doesn't make it not be part of the land. If it's yud by dalet, so now it's already a shir chashuv, so now you have to assess it for what it is. Assess it for what it is. It's not bnei zriya. It's not going to be subject to the halachas of stei achuza. If it's less than that, then it's batel. So I don't care what in and of itself is. Says the Gemara, Hachamai. What's the Gemara's kasha? So we just said that the Mishnah Masechtas Erechim that mentions a base court that had Nekoyim and Slum, where if they were 10 Tvachim, tall or deep, they're not considered part of the field. The only time that's true with the Nekoyim, if it was Moli Mayim. But if the Nekoyim were Moli Mayim, this halacha is not going to be true. What about in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah also spoke about a halacha of a base court where there's Nekoyim that are 10 Tvachim deep, and they're not going to be included. Is it also true only if the Nekoyim are Moli Mayim, if they're filled with water? What if you have ditches that are not filled with water? Would they be included or would they not be included? Rapapa said, Afal Pisha Ein Melei Mayim. Over here it's going to be true, even if they're not filled with water. My time, why? Ein Adam Reitzah Shita Ma'isav, V'makam Echad V'yir Lo Kishnayim V'Shalosh Mekoyimis. It's because Zilbas or Taima, it's a whole different reason. It's a different sugya. There we're discussing Hilchas Hektish. Is it a stei achuza or is it not a stei achuza? Over here we're discussing the mindset, the psychology of a buyer. When a person buys something, the reason he doesn't want to have a big ditch in the middle of his field is because it's going to create an inconvenience. Rashbam says, when you're going to be working your field, if you're going to be chayrish your field, what it's going to mean is that you're going to have to take the plow, work this side, then you're going to have to go around, and then you're going to have to work that side. The nekoyim are getting in your way. And that's what's making the buyer not want to have anything to do with the Nekoyim. So whether we look at it as a sada or not a sada is not the punchline. It's the punchline in Hilchas Hektish, where We have to know. Do we meet the definition of in misteach uzasoi yaktus shishlashem, or did we not meet it? In Hilchas Mekach HaMemker, it's not about is it a steachuz, it is not. That can't test its DNA and find out if it's a steachuz and say, oh, it's a steachuz. That's not the point. The point is, I don't want to buy a field that has something in middle that's going to make me work twice as much for the same amount of income. It's a bad investment. That's what I don't want. And that's why, even if it's not Moli Mayim, the halach is it's not going to be good. But fake the Gemara, if that's the case, that Nekoyim is true, even if it's a Bar Zriya, even if it's not Moli Mayim, and Slotin, we know, is not a Bar Zriya. Fake the Gemara, why don't we make the same Cheshbin that the Gemara made a minute ago in the Mishnah Mesechtes Erechin in its Deikonami? Maskef l'Rabino, v'adum yudu Slotin miktani, maslam v'la b'nei Zriya ninu afani nami, v'la b'nei Zriya ninu. We said that the Mishnah in Mesechtes Erechin that talks about Nekoyim that attend Tvachim deep was talking about Nekoyim Moli Mayim. And the Gemara said Deikonami, because it says Nekoyim, Dumi the Slon. And just like the Slon I'm not B'nei Zriya, so too the Nekoyim I'm not B'nei Zriya. That diuk of Nekoyim, Dumi the Slon, Lechura, you can make in our mission as well. So why don't we say the same thing? Nekoyim, Dumi the Slon. Slon I'm not B'nei Zriya. So in our mission, the only time the Nekoyim that are 10 Tvachim deep will be excluded from the sale is if they're Dumya this long. And Rapapa just said not that way. Rapapa said a nice svara, Ein adam roitza shite ma'isa b'mokam echad v'yiru lo kishnayim v'shloisham v'kemis. And as a result, halacha la ma'isa, even if it's not Moli Mayim, it's not Dumya this long, the halacha is it's going to be excluded. So Nekoyim are not Dumya this long. So in Erechin, Nekoyim is Dumya this long. And over here, Nekoyim are not Dumya this long, says the Gemara, Kitani Dumya this long, apachas mekam. No, really is Dumya this long. It is Dumi the Slum. Meaning, you're right, good diak. The Deikonami is true. The Mishnah put Nekoyim and Slum together. But not to tell me that it's always going to be true, Nekoyim, Dumi the Slum. To tell me in one instance where I would have not realized Nekoyim, Dumi the Slum, there Nekoyim is going to be Dumi the Slum. And that is where if it was less than 10 Tvachim, the halacha of the Mishnah was, it is included. That's going to be true, even if it's Dumi the Slum, even if it's Moli Mayim, where there's more of a svara to say that maybe it should not be included. Kamash Malon, it's less than 10 Tfachim. It's bottle, it's going to be included. So there is a kiyum of Nekoyim Dumi Dislam, but not in the absolute sense. Not that Yoyser Mikan and Pachas Mikan, it always has to be Dumi Dislam. It's Nageya, the Dumi Dislam, only in the Pachas Mikan. The question is then, what was the Deikonami in the previous Mishnah? So without getting into the Cheshboinus of Pashim Shad and the Gemara, Ayim Berashbam. Pachas Mikan, Nimdodim Ima. The Mishnah said that if the Nekoyim were less than 10 Tfachim deep, or the Sloim were less than 10 Tvachim tall, then the halach is they're going to be included. Like the Gemara just said, that's going to be true, even if the Nekoyim were Moli Mayim. So it's Dumya the Sloim. It's literally not part of the field that you could work even if you wanted to. It's not Steach Uzasai. It doesn't matter. Even then, it's going to be included. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Terashim Sha'amru. These Terashim, meaning these parts of the field that are not fertile, that we said if it's less than 10 Tvachim, are going to be included in the sale. This is true only if it was base arbas kavan, if there were four kavan of it. So in a field that's a base core, which is 180 kavan, we said, if there are four kavan that are not fertile, and it's less than 10 tfachim deep or tall, 4 tfachim wide, meets the criteria of the Mishnah, then the halachas is going to be included. But if it's more than 4 kaven, at that point already the halachas is going to be different. If you do the back of the envelope arithmetic, by the way, 4 out of 120 is about 2.2%. So 2.5% or so, that much we're willing to look away. But if there's 8% of the field, for example, that's made up of trushim, infertile land, albeit less than 10 tfachim deep, of course, at that point, the buyer's already not interested. This that we say, that a person is willing to accept 4 kaven, right? We said 4 kaven, that's the max. But a person will take 4 kaven. Even the 4 kaven will only take if it's spread out a little bit, at least within 5 kaven. But if the 4 kaven are so concentrated that it's within an area of less than 5 kaven, let's say it's 4 kaven right altogether, adjacent, or even if there's a little bit of room, it's 4 kaven within an area of 4.5 kaven, up to 5 kaven, the person will accept it. More than that, not. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yechon, he argued. He said, V'ushem b'v'loim b'ruba shel sadeh. No. The only time a person will take 4 kaven is if it's spread out within the majority of the field. Rashbam explains that. If the base core, that's the field the Mishnah is talking about, is made up of 30 sa, then the majority of the field would be 16 sa. So if the 4 kaven are spread out within the majority of the 30 saw, which is within a 16 saw area, then the person is willing to look away from Kfor Kavan. But if it's more concentrated than that, then not. So in other words, Machlokes HaMayirim, how concentrated? According to the first sheet in the Gemara of Ukva Bar Chama, if it's concentrated within five Kavan, just not terribly concentrated, there's a little bit of space, that's already okay. According to Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yechon, no, it has to be Muvlan Berubah Shel Sadeh. By Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Rubam B'miyuta, U'miyutam B'rubah. What if the majority of the four Kavan were within the minority of the 16 Kavan? Meaning, we said if it's spread out within the Rav, it's going to be okay. But what if the majority of the four is within the minority of the 16? Is that already too concentrated? Take by Rabbi Yirmiyah. So you know in a Gemara like this, you're going to get Rabbi Yirmiyah. Right? Rabbi Yirmiyah was famous for asking shailas that nobody knew answers to. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kishir Mahu, and don't be intimidated from the pictures. What if the four kavin were like a circle? That's the first picture. A shir is a bracelet, literally. So what if it's like a... Hashtag Bornstein Jewelers. So what if it's like a bracelet? What's the halacha there? Would it be different or would it not be different? What's the svar that it should be different? So Rashbam explains it petuf tam. Because you see there's a svar over here of Ein Adam Reitze Sheyitei Ma'oisa B'makam Echad V'yiru like Yishnai V'shloisha M'kaimis. The whole... Or one of the big svaras in the sugya is that a buyer, when he buys, he knows he's going to have to work the field. Today, if you buy property, you collect rent. Once upon a time, if you bought property, you were a farmer. You put on your overalls and you start working. So this person is going to have to work. And he's not interested in having to work around the kayim and slayim. It's just making his life complicated. So up to four kavan, depends how deep it is. These are some of the guidelines that Chazal gave us. But what if it's like a circle? If it's a circle, that means it's like everywhere. It's just going to be hard for you to do your shesi ve'erev, to do your basic harisha, which is what you're trying to do. Or kishura ma'u. What if there's a line going straight across the field? And the Rashbam says, that's even worse. That's even more troubling for the farmer. Because you always have to go shesi ve'erev. There's like a vertical and a horizontal. If there's a line going horizontally straight across the field, so it's for sure going to get in your way. Itztadinen ma'u. So itztadinen is from the famous shor ha'itztadin. That's the shor that gores, the professional shor that gores. But that, if you look at the shape, it's shaped like the two horns of a shor. It's this third shape on the in the Rashbam. That would be even more complicated, apparently. And then finally, Derech Akalosein Ma'u, that's that little W or M or whatever that is, that zigzag, but that makes it even more complicated. It's up to Gemara. Yirmiyah's Ibaya, as it very often is Teiko. So, the Gemara Vayta Tanim, Hoyasali Yechidi, I feel a kosher, ain't yet neither. If a person had a small rock, so till now we said, any rock that's less than 10 tefachim tall, or even if it's 10 tefachim tall, if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, as the Rashbam says, would be included in the sale. So, if it's less than that, it's certainly going to be included. What if somebody sells a base korafa, and at the edge of the field that he's selling, there's a rock? And that rock was a kosher. Kosher in this context means it's less than the 10 tefachim. Says the Braisa, Einim Dadima. It's not going to be included. And the reason is because if it's in the field, then it's bottled to the field, it's going to be included. But if it's on the outside of the field, so the question is, do I start counting from that rock? I mean, you don't start counting from a rock. You start counting from a field, from a meitzar, from a boundary. If inside that boundary there's a rock, that's where our mission is Nageya. But you're never going to start counting from the rock. And I feel, even if it was close to the Meitzar, meaning it's you're not starting from the rock, you're starting from the Meitzar. But the rock is close to the Meitzar. Again, I feel Kolshu, even if the rock is so small, ain't on the, you know, it doesn't matter. You're not. What does close mean? Three tefachim. Based on Lavud. Three tefachim, that would be considered. By Repapa, Mufzik Ofer Bein Tayin, Ma'u. What if the rock was close to the boundary, but there was Ofer in between? So perhaps because there's Ofer, even though it's Samuch, maybe it's different because the Ofer makes it be already the beginning of the field. Teiku. By Ravashi, Ofer Mil Mato, Vitzun Mil Amaylo. What if this rock had Ofer underneath it? So there was a rock, lemaila, tsunma is the rock, but underneath it there was an offer. Or offer milmaila, there was offer on top of the rock, vitsunma lamata. Ma, what's the halacha there? Meaning, it's the only time we're not going to start measuring from the rock, true, if there's no offer beneath it or above it. All it is this big rock that goes right through the ground. Or maybe if there's offer lamata, offer lamaila, it changes, says the Gemara, teiku. Tishbi Ataretz, again, Kushis Vachar. So, to Mishnah Vayta, Beis Korafa Ani Meichelach. If somebody tells his friend, I'm selling you a Beis Korafa, Mida Bechevel. He says, I want you to take a rope. I want you to bring engineers. We're going to count it. We're going to make sure that it's exactly a base core. Then the halacha is pichas kolshu. If it was a little less than a base core, yanaka. He has to make it up. Hoyser kolshu. If it was a little more than a base core, yachzer. The buyer has to return it. Because he said, mida bechevel. He showed that he was being very precise. He was nickeling and diming. The imam, if he said, hein chasa, hein yasa. What if he said, I'm selling you a base core. Pachas yoyser. Once he says, pachas yoyser, you run. But that's what he said. Pachas yoyser, give or take. Fil or pichas roiva lasa. Even if he was off by a roiva for every saw. So in a base core where there are 30 saw, he was off by 30 reval hakavs, oy hoyse reval isa, or he had more than a reva for saw. Then Allah is higiyo, yoyse mikan. If it's more than that, meaning if the shear that it was off by was more than a reva hakav for every single saw, yasa cheshbin, then you have to sit down and make a cheshbin. You have to make the buyer or the seller whole, depending on who's the one that lost out. Mahu machsoloi, what do you return? So let's say the buyer ended up getting more than this share, more than a roiva hakav for every saw that he bought. So he now has to return to the seller. What does he return? Mois. He gives him back money. The imrotza, if the seller wants, machzali karka. He can demand karka. So the seller is the one that gets to decide, do I want back some of the property that I gave you? I thought I was selling you a base court. Turns out I sold you more than a base court. You owe me now something. Either money or give me back some of the land that I gave you. The seller has a right to say, I don't want land, and I'm only giving you money. Why? What's the reason for that? The reason is because it makes sense that it should be that way. Because although at first glance you can make the argument, shouldn't the buyer be able to tell the seller, why am I giving you money? I never wanted to spend this much money. I knew how much money, I had a budget. I had $10,000, that's how much I could spend. I bought a base core. Turns out I got a little more than a base core. I have to give you now another $1,000. I don't want to give you another $1,000. You want to take some of the land back. The problem from the seller's perspective is, what is he going to do with this little piece of land? This little piece of land is not chosh. In fact, the Mishnah continues, Shim Shire besod at base tishes kabin, who begin a base chatzi akav, if somebody would oversell by a shear, that the amount that was oversold is in and of itself chashev, at that point, the meicha would be forced to take the land back. It's only because, what's the meicha going to do with such a little piece of land that we said this halacha, where they both thought that it was a base core, turns out they made some sort of mistake, here the meicha has a right to demand money, otherwise the buyer can force the seller to take the land back. There may be a kiva, base roiva, machsoleyas akarka, veloyas haroiva bovat. Not only do you give the roiva back, elas kol hamoiser. The halacha is that once you're giving back, this was also discussed in the daf not so long ago, that once you're giving back, once you're returning, you don't just return the difference. Meaning, up to a roiva hakav for every saw would have been included in the sale regardless. Now he sold a roiva and a half, let's say, for every saw. So there's two ways to look at it. Now that you're returning, do you just return the difference, adjust the number to be less than a roiva for every saw, so now you're within the guidelines of where it wouldn't have been initially katchila, and then you're fine? Or once you're returning, maybe you have to return everything. Says the mission of Elias Areva Bavadu Machser, Elis Kala Meiser. We'll see already more about this in the Gemara. Ibayalu, just one last Gemara. Base core, Stama Mao. So the mission discussed a base core offer where the seller said, Mida Bechevel. We're going to measure and make sure it's a base core. And then there was another case, the opposite extreme, where the person said, I'm going to sell you a base core, give or take. Balkas Yosef. What if he didn't say, I'm going to measure it? And he also didn't say, give or take. He just said, I'm selling you a base core. Didn't think of that. Base core, stama my tashma. Base core, offer, Michael Ration, the Mishnah said, somebody says, I'll sell you a base core offer. Mida bechevel, pachas kolshu, yanak. If he was off by a kolshu, yanak. Yeser kolshu, yachs. Meaning, if he said mida bechevel, you have to be a stickler. Hostama, what's it, mashma? That let's say he wouldn't have said that. Kehen chase, hen yasidami. It would have been as if he said, give or take. Meaning, only if you're a stickler is that loch, you have to give everything back. Otherwise, you don't. Name a seifa. The mamalei hein chasa hein yasef, because you're over the soi, yes, you're over the soi, give. Seifa's master is just the opposite. That it's only if you said mefurish, give or take, that loch is that we give or take. Ha, stomach can be the mechabal dami, but stomach you wouldn't give or take. Stomach you would say, then no, you have to be very precise. El, miha says, and we're lucky the Mishnah, you know, obviously you can't prove anything from the Mishnah, because the Reish and Mishnah is clearly mashma one way, the seifa of the Mishnah is clearly mashma another way, so we'll pick this up on Shabbos. But before we conclude, just to go back to a Geshmaki Gemara that we discussed earlier this week, hashtag light raid, and that is, we had a machloikis Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether Hiluch is a Kinyan Chazaka or Hiluch is not a Kinyan Chazaka. So, Nechosim Shiesh Lamachray, such as Karka, Niknin, Bekesef, Shtar, Bechazaka. Kesef is self-explanatory. Very self-explanatory. Shtar is also self-explanatory. What's chazaka? No, God, that parats, you do something to the property. You shtel bailus, as they say in yeshiva. That makes you the owner. Rabbi Eliezer said that if a person walks a field that he wants to buy, the hiluch in and of itself is no gadur parats. That would constitute kini chazak, chachamim argue. The Gemara said, my time of the Rebbe Eliezer, the chesed, he learned it from Avram Avinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, kum esalich ba'aris la'orkel l'rachba, ki l'chot, and then, so Rebbe Eliezer, why did Hashem tell Avram Avinu, kum esalich ba'aris? Because he wanted Avram Avinu to be koin Eretz Yisrael. How was he koin it? With hiluch. So you see that hiluch is a kinyan. What kind of kinyan is it? This was karka, it must be chazaka. Thus, Zot Rabbi Eliezer, you see, he looks his coin. Rabbanon said, no. Hasam Yishum Chavivusa Davram Hudakamale, Kideshe Noyach Lichpoish Lifnevanov, a slightly esoteric Rashban. We said, maybe it's mice of a similar bonim. So we spoke out some raid already about, did Avram Avinu really have to be Koine Eretz Yisrael? As there is mashma over here in this Gemara, that Avram Avinu was the one that was Koine, not the Yidden when they were going to enter the land. Hagam the Gemara Kedusha Chavava Mer Aleph, it's the Maritz Kasha, by the way. The Gemara Kedusha Chavava Mer Aleph learns that Chazaka's Koine Karka from the fact that Klal Yisrael were Koine Eretz Yisrael b'chazaka. So was Avram Koine b'chazaka? Same Kenyan. Or were Klal Yisrael Koine b'chazaka? So there's many theories. We spoke a little bit about this in the beginning of the week, but let's go in a little bit of a different direction. The Shlom Melech, in Prashas Drachim, asks a gewaldig kasha. The Rambam, in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin, says as follows. We know that a goy, an Eino Yehudi, a non-Jew, has a different Shulchan Aruch when it comes to making kinyanim. Says the Rambam, Hagoy ein koine b'chazaka. A goy who wants to acquire land cannot be koine b'chazaka. Goyim do not have kinyan chazaka. Elo, how does a goy get karka? Bishtar. He needs kesef and shtar. But without kesef and shtar, the goy cannot be koina, as it relates to this point that the Rambam is trying to make. Hagoy ein a koina b'chazak. Freit, the Mishloim Melech, Avram Avinu was a ben noyach. If Avram Avinu was a ben noyach, how could Avram Avinu have been koina Eretz Yisrael? With chazaka, the Rambam zochtach in the end of the first parak in Hilchos Mechira, Hagoy ein a koina b'chazaka, says the Mishloim Melech. You have to say that Avram Avinu was not a guy. Avram Avinu wasn't a ben noyach. And even though it was koina matan Torah, so pashtas, if it was koina matan Torah, Avram Avinu had to have been a guy, because there was no Jewish nation until the Yidden stood at the foot of Har Sinai and said, Naasev and Ishma. It must be that Avram Avinu was different. And the svara would be, being that Avram Avinu, we know, was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo. So because he kept the Torah mitzvahs, even before it had been given, it elevated his status to the status of Yehudi. The bottom line is, says Mishul Melech from this Gemara, it's Muchach, that Avram Avinu was a Yefek Rapiveger. In his Sefer Ksav V'Chosim, it's Simon Samach, if you want to look it up, that even though it's true, you find this idea that Avram Avinu, being that he kept Kol HaTorah Kulo, had a din of Yisrael, but the Ramban says in the end of Parshas Emor, that was only true after Avram Avinu was Mekayim the Mitzvah Bris Milah. But before Avram Avinu was Mekayim the Mitzvah Bris Milah, at that point, he didn't have a din of a Yid. And this episode of Kum Esalich Ba'aretz La'arka L'rach B'yichot Nena takes place in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Avram Avinu doesn't have his Bris Milah until the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. In other words, it was before Bris Milah. So if it was before Bris Milah, freaked Reb Kiva Eger that he doesn't understand that how could the Mishloim Melech say that the reason Avram Avinu was able to be Koyin Eretz Yisrael with Hiluch, with Chazaka, even though the Rambam says Agoy Ein L'Chazaka, is because Avram Avinu had a Din of Yisrael. L'chur, it's true. There is precedence to the Chiddush of the Mishloim Melech. It's a Ramban. The Rishonim say it. But the Ramban said it only L'achar Bris Milah. And this clearly happened. This clearly happened before Bris Milah. So I saw in the Sefer Chavetzel Sasharim, he says a beautiful pshat. He says that Dvar Avram, the Kovner Rav, said that even though it's true that the Rambam says a goy is ein loy kinyan chazaka, that's only by mekach hamemkas. If a goy is buying a field, for example, he can't acquire the field ayidei chazaka. But hefker, nichsei ager, there a goy could be a koina it, and the way he would be koina it was bikini chazaka. And Varav Rav said, the reason I know that is it's common sense. Because if you're a koina and a hefker, there's no kasef. Who are you giving the money to? It's hefker. There's no shtar. Who's the other party in the shtar? Who's the das matan on the shtar? There's no other way. And it's possible a guy could be kind of a hefker. Of course. Must be, said the Dvar Avram, that
he's kind of a chazaka. So although the Rambam said that a goy is in a kind of a chazaka, that's only when it's shayach shtar and kesef. But it's not shayach shtar and kesef, over there it wouldn't be possible. And the Kovner Rav steltsu to that a toisves and masechtas bechayres daf yud gimel amid beis, where we know that dvar toira midday rice. If you want to be kind of a metalflin, you kind of be mois. Chliks Rav Yechon and Shlokish. We pass like Rav Yechonon pashtes dvar toira mois kites. It's only midraban in this mashicha, meaning midday rice. So you can't be kind of metalflin in the mashicha. Midday rice, you kind of metalflin kesef. Says toisves mikomako. If somebody wants to be kind of hefker metalton, you are kind of ayde meshicha. Why? Because you can't do kesef. It's not possible. So must be kind of ayde meshicha. So said the Dvar Avram, just like Tosfos said, that the way to be kind of metalton and shal hefker is be meshicha, even though midday rice and meshicha is usually not kind of. He's talking about Israel. The same would be true. A guy who wants to be kind of karka, that's hefker, even though ordinarily he doesn't have kinyan chazaka, but being that it's not possible for him to be kind of a kesef ishtar, so there's by process of elimination, he's going to have no choice but to have kinyan chazaka. Said the Chavasal Sasharim, Ibazai, it's gewaldig. Was it possible for Avraham Avinu to have been kind of Eretz Yisrael from the Knanim, Ayde Kesef, who are you going to give the money to? And there was no person sitting on the other side. This was a one-sided transaction. Who's the Balashtar? Who's the Makna of the Shtar? Of Kadosh Baruch was gifting Eretz Kenan to Avraham Avinu. The only kinyan he could have made was kinyan chazaka. Oh, if the only kinyan he could have made was kinyan chazaka, Isaiah Poshet, how Avraham Avinu was able to be kinyan. Mishlo Melech wanted to be mechiach from the fact that Avraham Avinu was kinyan Eretz Yisrael, the chazaka, Avraham Avinu had a din of Yisrael. Frank, Rabbi Kiveiga, what's going on? It's before Bris Mila. Before Bris Mila, there's no way Avraham Avinu had a din of Yisrael. So what's pshat? Pshat is this Dvar Avraham. Being that it wasn't possible kesef ishtar, if it's not possible kesef ishtar, over there there's no question that Ben Noach would be able to be koine b'chazak. Now the emes is that this Ramban, in the end of Parashas Zemar, that says that Avraham Avinu, although he had a din Yisrael, koide matan Torah, it was only lacha b'smilo, but before b'smilo he didn't, is really a mefurish marsha. It's a marsha in Chedushi Agadah, Sechtes Yevamis, Daf Kuf Amid Beis. The marsha over there is discussing how Avraham Avinu was able to marry Hagar. Hagar was number one, a Shifcha Knanim. And even if you're going to tell me that Hagar was Megaya, but she was a mitzvah Rishoina. Her father was Parah. So being that she was a mitzvah Rishoina, so Bukhura Avraham Avinu would have had no gerecht to marry Hagar. So if he had no right to marry Hagar, and Avraham Avinu we know kept Kala Terekula, how'd he do it? Now, the reason it comes up in Yevamah Stav Kofam and Beis is because the Gemara over there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Mefurish, the Gemara is darshaning a pasuk, and then the parashas Lech Lecha, that Hashem told Avram Mefurish, you cannot marry a Shifcha Knanis. Fake the Marsha, what Avram Avinu do? He married Hagar, he married a Shifcha Knanis. What's going on? That's how the Marsha starts that raid. But ultimately, he comes to this kasha. Forget about that pasuk. At the end of the day, Avram kept Kol HaTayr Kula. So if he kept Kol HaTayr, if you would fill in, the Gemara says, even Erev Tavshilet, so Avraham Avinu put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, then L'chaira, Avraham Avinu shouldn't have married a Shifcha Knanis. Then L'chaira, Avraham Avinu should not have married a Mitzvah Rishayna. Says the Marsha, the Teretz is Pashit. You know what the Teretz is? This all happened before Avraham Avinu did Bris Mila. Before Avraham Avinu did Bris Mila, he didn't keep Kol HaTayr Kula. Avraham Avinu started keeping Kol HaTayr Kula, Macha Bris Mila. Before Bris Mila, not. This is Ma'od Matim with this Ramban. Before Bris Mila, he didn't keep Kol HaTayr Kula, he had a din of a Benayach. It was only after Bris Mila, then he started keeping Kol HaTayr Kula. It was at that point that he had a din of a Yisrael. Zoktim, Marsha, I'll prove to you that Avram didn't keep Kol HaTayr Kula before Bris Mila. Because it's a kasha that has made so much noise in Kaisla Beis Medrash over the last few thousand years. Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTayr Kula, yet Avram Avinu was an Oral when he was 99 years old. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram and he told Avram, be Mekayim, Mitzvah Mila, Avram didn't do Bris Mila. So everybody asks that how is it possible that Avram kept Erev Tavshilin, but he didn't do the mitzvah that every 8-day-old child does, which is Bris Mila. It makes no sense. Zokta Marsha Givaldi, I just found the answer. Because it's true Avram kept Kol HaTayr Kula, but it was only after Bris Mila. So what's the kasha? Why did he do Bris Mila? Because until Bris Mila, he didn't keep Kol HaTayr Kula. Azoy Zokta Marsha. It's a Raya Brewer, says the Marsha to my side. It's the Reim's kasha that had it Avram Avinu not do Bris Mila, the Teretz is Zeya Pasha. So just to digress for 5 minutes. Regarding that Veltz Kasha, Avraham Avinu kept Kol HaTayr Kula. Afilu Erev Tavshilin. So how you talking Avraham didn't keep Bris Mila? So it's Yidua, Yeshiva, they say, oh, from the Bris Kerov, that the Bris Kerov said, it's very Pasha. Because the mitzvah of Mila isn't just to remove foreskin. There's a foreskin on the Makom HaMila, you remove it, you mekayim the mitzvah. No. The mitzvah of Mila is to remove an Arla. Arla. Tumma, Me'usa, Arla, Chazal, wax poetic about how horrible the Arla is. A Yid is born with Arla, The mitzvah is remove the arla. Just remove foreskin. Yeah, punk, it's foreskin. But there's a cheftza of arla, and that's what you're supposed to remove. Before Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avram Avinu to be Mekayim Mila, although Avram Avinu had foreskin, but Avram Avinu didn't have arla. The cheftza of arla didn't come into creation until there was a mitzvah, a tzivoy of Brismila. So what do you mean, do Brismila? It wasn't shayach. It was just as not shayach as if there was no makam amila at all. Because although Avram had a makam amila, but he didn't have arla. Either was foreskin. Arla is not foreskin. Arla is a chalois. It's a chetza. So your person could have foreskin and it can't be. The truth is that this Yisoid of the Brisker Rav, that just because a person has foreskin, that by definition means there's Arla, Beis Halevi, it's a very famous Beis Halevi, and it's said over Chanukah time, the Mahadrim and a Mahadrim, but there's parts of this Beis Halevi that are Goli V'yodua, but there's parts of it that are tucked away, that are not so well known. Beis Halevi over there brings a psak from the Ramah. The Ramah says that if somebody does Bris Milah on a child that's less than 8 days old, the halacha is the child is Yetzim Milah, meaning once the child is 8 days, you're good. You don't have to do anything. No, I thought it's not bris. He's Mekayim Mitzvah Mila. The Beis Halevi brings that the Shagis Aryeh asks on the Ramah that he's not masking to the Psak of the Ramah. The Ramah said that if someone does a bris Mila on a baby 4 days old, the halacha is that when the baby turns 8, you don't have to do bris Mila. Well, maybe you don't have to do bris Mila, but you're Mekayim Mitzvah Mila. Says it's not camp. I the Ramah. The Ramah's coming from Rabbeinu Shimshon. Rabbeinu Shimshon said, "Mo b'toy ches ain't tzarich lahatav mimenu dambris." The Ramah understood Rabbeinu Shimshon. Why ain't tzarich lahatav mimenu dambris? Why do we need a toughest dambris if the meal was done within 8 days? Because the meal was already done. So the Shach is saying, "No way! Of course the meal wasn't done. Mila needs to be b'yei meshmini. It's like shaking lulav on the 14th day of Chodesh Kislev. You missed the boat. That's not bris mila. Bris mila has to be at least 8 days. Why ain't tzarich lahatav mimenu dambris? You know why? You know why? Because when the baby is less than 8 days old, baby doesn't have an arla yet. When does the baby develop an arla? When it turns 8 days old. Being that the arla was removed before the baby ever turned 8, so there was never a cheftz of an arla. If there was never a cheftz of an arla, it's not shaykh to become bris milah. What's a toughest non-bris? It's a watered down version of bris milah. But in order to do bris milah, there has to be an arla. This baby never developed an arla. What do you mean? The baby was born with foreskin. Foreskin is not arla. Foreskin is foreskin. But there's no cheftz of arla until the baby turns 8. I mean, you can have foreskin and not be an arla. But Slavi discusses, what if someone's moishach his arla? He's Moshech Hazal. So he had Bris Mila, and now already he's not a Mahol anymore because he has Arlo all over again. Is there a new mitzvah Mila to go do Bris Mila to Satan Mo? Zak Beis Halevi, no. Why? Because although he has foreskin, up it doesn't nisht Arlo. It's true, there's foreskin here, but it's not a Cheftz of Arlo. Meaning there's not a Cheftz of Arlo, therefore there's only bottom line is Bris Kerov said it wasn't Shaykh for Avram Avinu to go ahead and be Mekayim mitzvah Mila before mitzvah Mila was actually given. And the reason is because, again, there was no Cheftz of Arlo. Being that there was no cheftza of arla, it didn't make sense for him to be able to do bris milah. May Simcha Meshech Chachma says the same exact story. Doesn't say to answer this kasha. He's not discussing the Beis Halevi's raid. He says it more chumashtik. The pasuk says that right when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram and he gives him the mitzvah of milah, Vahi Avram ben Tishim Shana, Avram is 99 years old, Vayera Hashem al Avram, Vayoy Me'elo, Hashem appears to him. Listen to this Meshech Chachma. It's classic. He tells him, Ani Kel Shakai, Hesalich Lefane Vehe Tomitz. Avram is 99 years old. Hashem is Megal himself to him. The Etna Brisi Ben Yivinecho, Va'arboiz, I'm about to make a covenant between you, your descendants, and myself. As soon as Avram hears that, he falls on his face. Hashem starts talking. Zok Rashi, why did Avram Avinu fall? Because the Shechina was talking to him. Gevald. Rashi, because this was before Bismillah, right? It's right before Bismillah. So being that it's before Bismillah, he didn't have koyach to stand and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thus, Vayipal upon it. Frank Ramey Simcha, is this the first time Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu? No, Hashem had spoken to Avram Avinu many times. 75 years old. The Bris Pein Absarim, we know, Chazal says, Avram Avinu was 70 years old, 430, all the arithmetic that we did before Pesach. So we know this is not the first time Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu, and you don't find anywhere in the Torah, Vayipal Avram Alponov. So over here, Mitamah, Vayipal Avram Alponov, Zokra Meir Simcha. Because until now, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram Avinu the Tzivoy Bris Milah, Avram Avinu wasn't an Aro. Because there was no Cheftz of an Aro. I, Avram, had foreskin, but that's not our law. So Avram wasn't an Aro. Now that Hashem came to Avram Avinu, and he told him, I want you to be Mekayim Bris Milah. So now it was Nischadesh that Avram Avinu was an Aro. Oh, now it's a schadish. Avram Avinu is an oral. Now, vayipal Avram alponov, vayidabrit al kibleim. Avram Avinu suddenly had no koyach to stand, because now there's not just foreskin. Now there's a meusa oral. I'll just conclude with one machshava, an egin of machshava, lulei de mistafina, and that is we know that one of the asar in the siyah, one of the ten nesiyonis that Avram Avinu had was bris milah. It was one of the ten nesiyonis, and the bali machshava, the bali drush, the pulpit rabbis, they're all bothered. That was a nesiyon. It was a nesiyon for Avram Avinu. Mekayim a mitzvah, why? Because it hurts a little bit. What was the Nisayan? In Tzidua, the Rav Moshe Feinstein said that the Nisayan of Bris Milah was that Avram Avinu was in the kira business. Avram was in the outreach business. That's what Avram Avinu did for a living. That's how he supported his family. He was in the outreach business. He had a tent. It was open on four sides. He gave lectures, discovery seminars. That's what Avram Avinu did. He was all about the hanefesh asher asa b'charan. And in order for a person to be effective, to be able to reach out to people, you have to be relatable. The more relatable you are, the more effective you could be. Once you're not so relatable, at that point, it's difficult for you to be effective. For Avram Avinu to do something that was going to be mavdal him between the people that he was reaching out to, that was a big nesayin. Because it was affecting his business. It was affecting what Avram Avinu believed, what Avram Avinu did. So now you're telling Avram that you spent your whole life trying to reach out to people, relate to people, and now there's going to be a havdalah between you and all the other nations of the land. It was a very, very difficult thing for Avram Avinu to comprehend. So it wasn't the milah, it wasn't the blood, the little bit of tsar and the pain. That wasn't the point. The point was this havdalah that was being created between Avram Avinu and the people he was reaching out to, that was very, very challenging. So I was thinking that it could be that before Avram Avinu had the mitzvah of Bris Milah, Avram knew there was a mitzvah of Milah. He knew, and he kept calling it Terekula. But could he made a cheshbon that it was the wrong thing to do? And in the same vein, the Reb Chaim Volozhin says, that although the others kept calling it Terekula, Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, he married Rachel and Leah. Why? So said Reb Chaim Volozhin, and even though Yishaya Novi tells Chizkiyo in Brachas Taf Yudam and Aleph, Bahadi Kavshir Avon Olamalach, don't make cheshbonis. That was once the Torah was given, but before Matan Torah, a Yid was allowed to make cheshbonis. And Yaakov Avinu made a cheshbon to marry two sisters. Maybe Avram Avinu made a cheshbon as well. For the same reason that it was an assoyant for Avram Avinu to go do Bris Milah, it's for that same reason that Avram Avinu felt that I'm not going to do it. Because I get it. This is a mitzvah of Milah, and it's something that's very, very chashuv. But at the same time, I need to be able to reach out to people. And if I'm going to have this Bris Milah, it's going to impact my ability to be makar of people. And in terms of what's more important, cost-benefit analysis, Avram Avinu made a decision that I'd rather go and be more effective and pay v'nefesh hashasah charen than to be mekayem my Bris Milah, leaving the Chasam Sofer on the table. So you know, maybe we'll continue this raid into next week. Either way, I get nerve Shabbos.